Man, what a beautiful presence of God in this place this morning. Amen. Man, I'll tell you what, it's times like that where I hate a clock and I hate time and I hate all of it. I just want to be in this space with Him because there's no better place to be. Well, I want to introduce myself this morning. I am the amazing, the incredible, the good-looking, the awesome Mark Crossman, and I work here at the church, and you are absolutely, it's your pleasure that I am here this morning. I was told earlier that I was being arrogant by not introducing myself because I assumed that everybody knew me, so I decided to do a humble introduction in the second service. I tried humility once, nobody noticed, so I never did it again. It's so good to be with you guys this morning. If you're live streaming with us, good morning. It's good to have you guys. Some of you are wondering, where is our pastor? Where is Pastor Zach? Well, he is in the biggest party city in America, Omaha, Nebraska. It is a wild place. He's up there with his family, having a nice little break, connecting with, he's got a big family. There are a lot of Zenders out there. So they're having a good time. So we say to welcome to him this morning if he's watching. And, we are excited about digging into some of the things that God wants to do this morning. Oh, before I forget, we are going to receive the offering this morning. Crucial. My salary depends on it. So let's receive the offering. I'm going to pray quickly before we receive. If this is your first time, please, please, please do not feel obliged to give. Just don't take anything out of it when it comes past you. Father, we want to thank you this morning for the offering, Lord. We want to thank you just for the fact, Lord, this morning that we don't give begrudgingly, Lord, but we give because you have provided for us. We give because we trust you, and we give because we are thankful for what you're doing in our lives. We thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Alrighty, so this morning we are going to be digging in a little bit further into our series, Godconomy, and I am pretty excited about the title today. We actually did not pre-plan it this way, it sort of just happened this way by default, but the title of my message this morning is, Are You Ready to Rumble? Is the title of my message. If you are a little bit sleepy this morning or a little bit tired, it probably means that you watched the big fight last night. So who watched it? Who stayed up? Any of you? I don't know about you guys, but I was getting ready to put money down on the fact that the fight would never happen. I just thought at one point, for eternity, we were going to watch the build-up to this fight. So that eventually did take place, and this is unbelievable. My guy Conor McGregor was in it, what, until round six? Oh, you guys reckon 10? I don't know. He was looking wonky at round seven. He was looking a little tired, and that was the end of that. So go Floyd, well done, you're the greatest. So McGregor lost, and it was exciting, but here's the thing that really caught my attention with this fight. They say it is the biggest fight in human history. Try to wrap your head around that. In regards to numbers and in regards to money, they're saying that more people watch this fight than any other fight in the history of the world, and they're saying that the purse was one of the biggest in the history of the world. Now, what's amazing about that for me is that we're living in 2017. It's two guys fighting. Are you with me? I was thinking about this the other day, and I was like, man, I understand if this was 100 years ago, and we were living in a little village, and the goat farmer had beef with the chicken farmer, and it was like, we're going to see who's best, beef or chicken, and we're going to take this thing outside, and we're going to see who's the meanest, baddest guy in the village, and the goat guy and the chicken guy go at it, and the 50 of us that live in the village are like, we want to see who the baddest guy in this village is. I sort of get that. But here we are, 2017, man, we're so clever and we're so refined and we're so knowledgeable and we've got these cool TV shows and we got so many places to go. We got theme parks. We got all this stuff. But man, I tell you what, when two dudes want to have a fight, we're all in and we're like, yeah, we want to see who the baddest guy is on the planet. That's what we want to do. And I was thinking about it, and I think the reason we're so drawn to a good old-fashioned fight is because of the fact that every single one of us have experienced it in some way or another in our own lives. Maybe you haven't been in a physical fist fight ever, but every single one of us has gone through situations in life where it has felt unfair, where it has felt like we've been blindsided, where it has felt like we have been in a fight. And I think there's something about a fight that captures the imagination. And we go, man, on some level, I can relate to that. So this morning, what I want to try to tackle, and I'm going to try to make this as practical as possible because we're dealing with spiritual matters here. But this morning, I'm going to be digging into spiritual warfare a little bit. And I'm going to be looking at that. And I'm going to be speaking about the unseen fight that every single one of us are in. And then I'm going to try my best to give you a couple of practical things that we can do as believers to really engage the enemy and really win the fight. So we're going to be looking at that this morning. My key text is Ephesians 6 verses 10 to 18. So I'm going to be reading from that. And let's check it out this morning. It says this: finally be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. I'm going to pause, man. Pause sentence one, okay? Here's the first thing, and this is key. And I feel like I'm sort of giving you my whole message in the beginning, so maybe we can just go home after this. But here's the deal. Be strong in whose mighty power? Not yours, because your power ain't so mighty after all. But it's be strong and be mighty in His power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stands against the devil's schemes. For our struggle, listen to this, is not against flesh and blood. It's not against our brothers and our sisters. It's not against black and white. It's not against Democratic and Republican. It's not against all these things. It's not against your mother-in-law. But it's against, listen to this, rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly realms. You know, even as I read this, it feels like the beginning of a Star Wars movie, you know, when the credit goes up. There is dark forces in the realm. But no, this is God's word. Listen to what it goes on to say. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all of this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray, listen to this, in the Spirit on what occasions? On all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. Amen. Hallelujah. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for the Lord's people. So we're going to take this Ephesians this morning. We're going to break it down into four little pieces. I am an amazing combat sports fighting artist. So I will be walking you through what this looks like. Point number one this morning, be aware. Number one, be aware. Ephesians says that our battle, our fight, is not against flesh and blood, but against higher principalities of darkness and evil. And that's the first thing I want to touch on this morning, is that there's two big things. Number one, there is a fight. Number two, that fight is not against the person standing in front of you. And I feel this morning that a lot of us get frustrated with the struggle we're in. We get frustrated with the fight we're in. So the only place we know where to look is the poor guy standing in front of us. And we want to take out our frustration and our anger at the person standing in front of us. But the Bible says this morning, don't look at the person in front of you, but rather get connected to the person that's stands behind the person and engage that spirit. There's a spiritual war going on, and we have got to be aware of it. We have got to know what's happening. I will never forget when I was 17 years old. I was a man, so good looking, so strong. I had knees. I remember waking up in the mornings and not feeling like I'm in pain just from sleeping in my bed. It was good times. But I remember when I was 17, lived obviously in South Africa, and I played rugby. I was on a rugby team, and I'll never forget, my rugby team went to go play in a rugby tournament in Zimbabwe. Now, before I carry on, let me explain to you, rugby is an amazing sport. It is, in fact, the father of American football. This is what I tell American people, and they get very upset with me. But I'm telling you, it is. It's like the Abraham of the faith is what rugby is. So I played rugby, and I went to a country called Zimbabwe, and how it worked is there were teams from all around the world that got together, and they put us in dorm rooms in one place, in one space, and I want to tell you, there was enough testosterone in Zimbabwe over that month to fuel the entire United States of America. I mean, it was, everybody was bigger and stronger and meaner than everybody else. And man, we arrived there, and you know, I normally take role of guy that starts fight with mouth. That's normally my part of the deal. And we had one guy that was just huge, right? Every group has the big guy, the fighter guy, the guy that's going to lead us, the guy that we can all trust in. And we got into this thing with this other school, and their big guy came out to meet our big guy, and it was epic, and it was amazing, and it was going to go down. And as they were challenging each other in the dorm rooms, their guy said to our guy, "This sounds great, but let's take this outside." And I must be honest, I don't understand why fights have to go outside. Why do fights go outside? All the biggest fights happen inside. They never happen outside. So anyways, my guy, our guy, fell for it. He turned around, showed his back to this dude, and started walking out the door. And their big guy hit our big guy so hard. I mean, it sounded like a bomb went off. Absolutely destroyed this guy's jaw. He fell down. He hit the floor. And that was it, ladies and gentlemen. That was the end of the fight. Now, I have no idea what happened after that, because I ran out of the room screaming, and I went and I hid under my bed in the dorm room. I have a very strict policy when it comes to fighting, and that is I don't like to fight people that are not as good looking as I am, and therefore I don't ever fight, because I'm always the best looking person in the room. So, but listen to this. 1 Peter 5 verses 8 says this, and man, it doesn't get clearer than this. Be alert, be awake, be aware. Listen to what it says. 1 Peter 5 verse 8. Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Listen to me, Christians. Listen to me, brothers and sisters. I know this is at times a difficult concept to grasp, because we're so used to practical things and we're so used to dealing in the realm where things are seen. But the Bible is saying clearly that there is an unseen realm, and there is an enemy that is out for us in that realm. And I want to contend this morning, and I want to say to you this morning, that I firmly believe that whatever happens in the physical, very often starts in the spiritual. There is a spiritual war that happens here, and it slowly works its way into the physical. So what happens with us is we want to try to fix things in the natural, in the physical, but what you're missing is there's a whole nother picture happening in the unseen. And if we take that on, if we fight that, that is where we will start to see traction in our lives. Some people will say things like, "Well, man, I don't believe that there is really a devil. I don't believe that there is really a fight." But I want to tell you, first of all, the Bible tells us that this is the case. Second of all, surely you have been in those situations where things start happening in your life where you take a moment and you go, "There is no way this is just coincidence. It's impossible. There are too many things. There are too many things happening now." And here's the thing that I will tell you that is kind of great. The devil is not creative. He is not the creator. God is the creator. So all he can do is manipulate and manufacture and destroy. So when he shows up and he tries to do things in your life, here's our advantage. He is so predictable. He is so stupid that you can see it at times a mile away. And when you see it, that is the opportunity to do some of the things I'm going to speak about in the next couple of minutes. But man, I can tell you stories just even from my own personal life. I remember when I was, like 22, 23 years old, and we had youth in South Africa, and we would have a service on Sunday mornings, and I would have to preach. I kid you not when I tell you this, I woke up every single Sunday morning without fault with no voice. Just every Sunday, when Sundays rolled around, I would have no voice. I'd get up there to start preaching, and it would be fine. I remember we would do open-air crusades in South Africa, where we would go and we would set up the sound, and we would be praying, and we would be trusting that God would meet the needs of the lost and the hurting and the broken. And I kid you not, witch doctors, we call them sangomas, would come and they would set up camp sort of on the periphery of what we were doing, and they would start to beat their drums and they would start to shake the bones. And I can tell you now, as I stand here, you could feel it. You could feel like there was just this thickness in the air, that there was something happening in this moment that was far beyond, way beyond what you could see, what you could smell, what you could touch. I remember my little girl, Vanessa. She's the one that's really, she typically doesn't do naughty things, okay? So when she was about 2 years old, she was really well behaved. She was a great 2 year old. And I had to go do my grandmother's funeral at this point. She had passed away, and we had a lot of family coming to that funeral, especially my uncles, that did not know who Jesus was. So when they wanted to know who would do the funeral, I said I wanted to do it, because I wanted to basically just make it a big fat, I'm going to share the gospel. I'm going to do, you know, everything I can to expose you to the gospel. And we're busy getting ready that morning. I'm standing there looking in the mirror, putting on my suit. And we had one car at this point, me and Linda. And little Vanessa, 2 years old, gets onto our bed. She's never done this since. She's never done this afterwards. She looks straight at me. I look at her, and she does a swan dive. Just like brilliant, most perfect dive you've ever seen in your life. Straight off the bed into a cupboard, knocks her eyebrow open, and there's blood everywhere. And we're supposed to be at this funeral in the next 10 minutes. We've got one car, and I'm in a flat spin panic. I'm not sure what to do. I don't know how this is going to work. And I kid you not when I tell you this, I literally sense this feeling in my heart, the enemy saying to me, if you dare come and speak to my children at this funeral today, I will take out your children one by one. And I remember it. I remember it as clear as day. And it was in that moment where I said, ah, that's not how this works. You're a defeated foe. We are going to go and we are going to preach the gospel. And that's what we're going to do. So there are times where it is evidently clear that we are in a fight, there is a battle. But there is a balance, though, and I want to touch on this quickly. Some of us love blaming the devil for everything. And I want to say this with all due respect to the devil. Some of you do such an amazing job at just messing yourself up that he's not really in the picture. You blaming him and him going doing is blaming him. And I can actually see him sitting in a room with demons. You blaming him and him going, is she serious right now? We weren't even there. We were watching Say Yes to the Dress. Remember, guys? And they're like, yes, we remember. You know, so not everything is the devil. There are consequences. There are decisions. But there is a battle. Next thing I want to look at quickly this morning, and let's carry on with this. Ephesians 13 verses 17 speaks about the full armor of God. And I'm going to delve into this. And this has been something that's been very fascinating for me as a Christian forever. I've loved this piece of scripture about putting on the full armor of God. But what's always been interesting for me is just this idea of how, like, I feel like sometimes I'm too practical for things. I the preacher would preach, put on the full armor of God, hallelujah, amen. And I'd go out there, yeah, the armor. And then don't know what to do. Like, what? Give me something. Must I hop on one leg every morning, do a push-up, say a prayer, read 5 scriptures, 10 scriptures? How do I put on the full armor of God? And I was actually reading this again the other day, and something just occurred to me, and it just looks so beautiful. And this is what it is that if you look at the full armor of God, what you see is a picture of Christ. What you see is a picture of Christ, and I'm going to break it down for you in the next minute. But putting on, I'm going to change the language a little bit here for you. Putting on the full armor of God, I'm going to say it a little bit different, is the same as saying, be in Christ. Amen. Be in Christ. I'm going to give you a tip quickly when it comes to fighting. I'm going to tell you how you will never lose a fight ever again in your entire life. The key to never losing a fight ever again in your entire life is having friends that are unbelievable fighters. That's how you never lose a fight ever again. What this piece of scripture, I believe, is saying to us this morning is that if we are going to conquer the enemy, it is of vital importance that we are not by ourselves, that we are not isolated, but that we are connected to a body and that we are in Christ Jesus. It is when we find ourselves in Him, that is when Paul says, when I am weak, that is when He is strong. Because I find myself in Him, in His authority, and in His power. I'm going to throw this out there for free this morning, but we're going to be launching our L teams and our home groups in the next couple of weeks. And I really want to encourage you, just along these same lines, that you are vulnerable when you are isolated. If you're isolated, you're vulnerable. I saw a video the other day on Facebook. A bunch of lions tried to take down an elephant because the elephant was by itself. How big, how strong, how powerful is an elephant? But the minute it was separated from the herd, these lions actually tried to take this thing down. I want to tell you that I don't care how great you think you are, how strong you are, how powerful you are, how gifted you are, how talented you are. You need to be in community with other people that can lift you up when things go wrong and when you feel weak. So over the next couple of weeks, I urge you, I pray for you, please, as we launch home groups and L teams, don't be in this amazing church with these amazing people and find yourself alone. Don't do that. I'm actually begging you, please don't do that. We need to be connected. We need to be together. So let's look at this quickly. I used to read this and I used to ask myself, how do I get in the armor of God, until I realized this is in fact a picture of Jesus. Let me show you what I mean by this. It says here, put on the belt of truth and the breastplate of righteousness. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. I am the righteousness of God through Christ Jesus. It goes on to say, let your feet be ready in the gospel of peace. Jesus is the rock and our firm foundation. The Bible says that Jesus is the Prince of Peace. It goes on to say, take up the shield of faith. Listen to this. Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. It's absolutely beautiful. It says, take the helmet of salvation. Jesus is my salvation. And then lastly, it says, take up the sword that is the word. The Bible tells us that in the beginning was the word was with God, the word was God, the word became flesh and dwelt among men. The word is Christ. Jesus is the word. Jesus is the sword. Jesus is the powerful one. And here's what I want to say to you is that when I used to look at this and think about the armor of God, the picture I used to have in my mind was this picture of a skinny little kid trying to pick up this big shield and trying to hold this big sword, and you're sort of clumsily, you know, trying to go fight the devil and you can't even swing the sword. And that was sort of the picture I used to have in my mind. And then the most spiritual movie in all eternity came out that just opened my eyes. It's a movie called The Avengers. And I got to learn of this man called Tony Stark. This man that was a normal man, an average man. He was not particularly fast or strong or great, but he would get into a suit that was the Iron Man suit. And when he was in this suit, he became unstoppable. All of a sudden he could fly. All of a sudden he could punch through walls. All of a sudden he could do all kinds of things. This guy became a hero when he was in the suit. I want you to understand this morning that what we are when we put on the armor of God is in Christ. It looks more like Tony Stark in Iron Man than it does a skinny kid trying to wield a big sword. You're in Him and He starts to do things through you. Listen to this, John 16:33. I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, says Jesus, I have overcome the world. When Christ died on the cross, the Bible tells us that He removed all authority from the enemy. And now when we are in Him, we are standing in His authority. I want to tell you that when you're on the thick of it, the most powerful thing you can do is call upon the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. And I don't care how hokey pokey, super spiritual this sounds to you, but I'll tell you right now, when I'm on an airplane and I feel that thing shaking, I'm in the name of Jesus. And that thing hasn't gone down yet because I'm still here. So it is powerful and it works, and it's about standing in that authority. I told this story in the first service. I saw a guy the other day at a car line with dropping the kids off at school. He got so frustrated, this dude, that he got out of his car with his pajamas and he started directing traffic. It's the greatest thing I've ever seen. But here's the thing though, nobody was listening to him because he was standing in his pajamas. And when the traffic officer came and got out of his car in his uniform, all of a sudden big trucks were stopping when he lifted his hand. Not because he was any more special than the dude in the pajamas, but the uniform he wears, the outfit he was in, the badge he had represents an authority that is greater than him. And I tell you right now that when we are in Jesus Christ, we are in an authority that is greater, that is bigger, that is stronger than anything we're ever going to face. 1 John 4 verse 4 says this. I've got to move now. It's my time. Oh man, me and time. It says this, you dear children are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. So number one, be aware. Number two, be in Christ. Number three this morning, let us be in prayer. Let us be in prayer. Ephesians 6 verses 18 says, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for the Lord's people. Man, we have lost it. I'm going to tell you right now, with all due respect, church, we have stopped being a praying church. We've got to get back to a place where we get out of these practical mindsets and we start to understand that there's nothing more practical than spending time in the Lord's presence. There's nothing more practical than being still and knowing who He is. Man, I've got this thing that whenever I run into trouble, I want to go fix it. I want to go make it happen. I want to do all these things. Prayer is typically the last thing I do. I want to tell you that prayer should be on the tippy toes of our lips. I said that pathetically badly, not tippy toes of our lips, but it's got to be there all the time. We've got to be in this place where at all times we are in the Spirit and praying for all different kinds of things. 2 Corinthians 10 verses 4 says this, the weapons we fight with are not the weapons of this world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. Oh, come on, somebody. Weapons of our warfare is not carnal, but they have power to demolish strongholds. And some of us in this place have been running around like chickens with our heads cut off, but nothing's happening. I want to tell you, it's time to fight a different fight. It's time to drop the hands and get into the prayer closet and actually start connecting with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I want to say this to you. Prayer turns a one-on-one boxing match into a tag team wrestling match. and when I was a kid, I used to love wrestling, and there would always be this thing where you'd have the guy in there and he was busy being beaten up, and I don't know how the rules worked, but the ref was knocked out and there were five guys in there against one guy, and he would try to tag and his little finger just couldn't reach, and he would try to tag, and finally by a miracle he would tag and the new guy came in and he would just throw everybody out of the ring and everything, and the whole fight would be done. All he needed to do was tag his friend. I want to tell you this morning that when we pray, when we spend time in His presence, we are literally tagging ourselves out of the fight, and we are inviting the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords to stand in that space on our behalf and to fight the fight that we could not fight ourselves. It is incredible. It is powerful. Listen to this. Listen to this. James 5 verses 16. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. The Amplified Bible says it a little bit differently, but man, it says it unbelievably well. Listen to this. The heartfelt and persistent prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. It is dynamic and can have tremendous power. And I tell you what, when we spend time with him, we are releasing power that is so far beyond anything we could ever do. The Bible says that when we pray, we can actually set angels to flight with our prayers. I want to tell you that circumstances can change when God's people praise. And there's something very important I want to point out in that last piece of scripture. It says that the prayers of a righteous man avails much. We are righteous this morning, not because of us, but we are righteous because of him. And let me tell you what the enemy will do, because he does this to me. Here's what happens. None of us are perfect. All of us make mistakes. All of us say things we're not supposed to do. Some of us more than others, like myself. But we all get ourselves into trouble. So what happens is that when you find yourself alone in that space where you're trying to connect with God, the enemy will come. That is when he comes. And he will try to convince you that, man, you're not good enough. Don't you remember? Don't you remember what you did a week ago? Don't you remember what you looked at? Don't you remember what you thought? Don't you remember the fight you had with your wife? Are you seriously going to try to connect with God right now in this space with everything you've done and with everything that you are? The Bible says that he is the accuser of the brethren. That's what he does. He comes and he accuses us. Why? Because if he can get you to believe that somehow you're not righteous, somehow God is not for you, somehow you're not in Christ, if he can come and convince you of that, you will find yourself in a difficult spot. It's in those moments that he will come. But I've got good news for you this morning. You are not righteous because of your ability to do everything perfect. You are righteous because Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary. And the Bible says this. The Bible says this. When the devil comes and reminds you of your sin, you can go, yeah, I remember that. But here's the good news. My God says, I will remove your sin and I will throw it away and I will remember it no more, says the Lord. So I might remember it, but he remembers it no more, says the word. Which leads me into my last point this morning. We've got to be aware. We have got to be in Christ. We have got to be in prayer. And last but not least, we have got to be in the word. We have got to be in the word. If you look at the armor of God, the only offensive weapon in that entire armory is God's word. It is the sword that is the word. You know, it's funny how people will say to you, if you're serious, put it in writing. And what you're saying sounds good, but if you're serious, put it in writing. You know what? God was so serious about the promises he has made us that he said, yeah, I'm going to put it in a legal binding document. I'm going to put it in writing. It is right here in the word, and it is solid forever. Nothing can change it. Nothing can take it away. God says, my word will stand forever. You know, it reminds me of those movies where the cop will come and try to get into the guy's house, and the guy will turn around and say, you can't come into my house. You need a search warrant. I don't even know how true this is. I just always see it on the movies. And then the cop goes, okay. And then the guy goes, I know my rights. I know my rights. I want to tell you something, man. When the enemy comes and he knocks on the door and he wants to get in to places that he has no authority to get into, I want to tell you that that is the moment where you take out the sword, which is the word, and you say to him, hey, pal, you cannot come in here because I know my rights. I know the promises God has made me, and I stand on that. And as long as I stand on that, legally, you can do nothing to me. Because I am in him. It's amazing. We see this picture of Jesus in the wilderness. Every single time the enemy comes and tries to attack Jesus, Jesus responds with God's word. Doesn't get all emotional. Doesn't get into a big fat thing with the devil. Just responds with God's word. Man, I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what your situation is, but I want to encourage you. This is a practical thing. Think about the areas that you're struggling. Think about the areas that you're trusting God for. Go find those promises in God's word and have them ready. Have them ready, because when he comes and he tells you that you're not good enough, you have it ready and you go, no. Here's the deal. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That's the promise he has given me. That is what I am standing on. Isaiah 55 verses 11 says, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which it was sent. Man, you've got a weapon in your hands that God says will never miss. It'll never miss. You take a swing with that thing, it'll never miss. You'll hit the target every single time. And I want to close with this final scripture this morning because we have run out of time, but we are going to take some communion this morning. And I want to tell you something. In line of everything we're saying, there's something unbelievably powerful about communion. It is when we take communion, when we get into that space where we remember who He is and we participate in that, there's something beautiful that happens. There's something powerful that takes place. So we're going to do that in a minute, but let me wrap up by reading this scripture, Revelation 12, verses 7 to 8. Then war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought back. But he was not strong enough, and they lost their place and their authority in heaven. The Bible says that there was a great battle, but he was not strong enough, because the one we serve is so much greater, so much stronger, so much more powerful. This morning we are going to take and receive communion. So I'm going to pray over us this morning. And how we're going to do it this morning is we are going to do one song. While we do that song, we are going to hand out the elements. There are two cups on top of each other. So it's, you know, it's a bit confusing, but take both cups. Both the elements will be in those two cups. We're going to do one song, and then what we're going to do is we are going to receive communion together. The light stuff is the juice. It's the thing I stressed about the most, the whole sermon. The dark stuff is the wine. Okay, gotcha. So remember that as we partake this morning. So I'm going to pray, and then we're going to worship, and then the ushers are going to hand out the offering this morning. Father, we want to thank you this morning, Lord, just for who you are, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for victory in you, Lord Jesus. I thank you for what you did for us on the cross of Calvary, Father. And over the next couple of minutes in this place, Lord, I don't know what people are going through. I don't know what people are facing, Lord. But as we worship you, as we praise you, as we participate in communion, Lord, I thank you, Lord Jesus, that you move in a powerful way in this place, in people's lives. Thank you, Lord, for the cross. Thank you for your body. I thank you, Lord, that your body was broken for us, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. We love you so much. Ushers, you may come and hand out the communion.